All right. I think I'm the only one not there. We've been dealing with this thing, what I call the priesthood of the believer. I think anybody, any awareness realizes I'm basically talking to you in an organized way of fellowship, discipleship with the Lord. If you take people who've had successful walks with the Lord over years, they're going to label things differently, how they do it. But when you boil it all down, they're all basically doing the same thing. They've discovered these things by trial and error. We need these things in our lives to have fellowship with the Lord. I myself, in the sense of Christianity, grew up in a system where we called it the priesthood of the believer. And just picking up here in 1 Peter 2, verse 1, wherefore laying aside all malice, and again, what a hard thing to do. You know, if you've got malice in your heart, and I'm not trying to be mean here, you know it's hard to get rid of. It's not an easy thing. Oh, I'm just going to get rid of that. It's not easy, but you're told lay it aside, okay? All guile, okay? Guile is where you have a motive behind what you do that's different than obvious, okay? And it's not good, right? Sometimes you can have a motive behind what you do that's funny and it's good for that person or whatever. But if it's something not good for that person, it's guile, all right? Get that out of your life. And hypocrisies. If you don't watch yourself constantly, you will continually be a hypocrite. And envies and all evil speakings. Evil speakings is where you just have bad opinions of other people and you just let them roll, all right? With facts, without facts, why let facts stop? You just put them out there, okay? Then it says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And again, what's the way that a doctor knows that a baby's ill? It's not desiring that milk. There's a problem there. And the other thing is, again, we've had 8 newborn babies in our house. 10 pregnancies, 8 of them born. And there's certain things you learn after a while that's consistent. But, you know, one of them is this, and I've talked about this before. If Zane came up to his mother and said, I'm hungry, you know, Zane's just like my boys. He can be a jerk, all right? He's just like my boys, just like me, the rest of us. But basically, he can understand there's 45 minutes till dinner. He can understand that. He can look at the clock and get that straight. Now, if Katie came up and said she was hungry, she can't get the 45-minute part too much, but she can see mom's cooking. It's in preparation. She can get that through her head. But now, little Victor, if he's hungry, there's no talking to him, okay? You can't show him and say, look, mama's going to go in there and slop the hog in a bit. You can't do that, all right? It's not going to work. In other words, he wants it now. And you know what the Lord told you? You desire the sincere milk of the word just like that. You know what I've learned? When it comes into your heart to look something up in the Bible, stop everything. Go look it up in the Bible at the first absolute time that you can do it. If you don't, it'll actually slip your mind. You won't get it done. You know, you do it then, like a newborn babe. They kick, scream, do what you have to. Get it done, all right? Now, it says this, if so, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And I think most of us here have tasted at one point in our life really the graciousness of the Lord, where he stepped in where, gosh, you wouldn't have stepped in for somebody, but he did, okay? And he just stepped in and he's helped you at times and you've tasted that. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. In other words, go to 100 secular counselors, discuss them the problems in your life, and they're going to disallow this man, Jesus Christ. He's not going to be the stone that they're going to stick in your path. He's not going to be what they say, well, just build your life on this man, Jesus Christ. Okay, so he's disallowed indeed of men, but he's chosen of God. He's how God chose that you should overcome those things that are hurting you in your life and that are terrible in your life. Old Spink Williamson, he always used to hold his hands up and teach you to say, I have Jesus for this. Okay, what, you know, no matter what it was that's going on in your life, I have Jesus for this. And you just hold on, that's what I have it for. You say, well, for what? Whatever your problem is. Okay? What's your problem right now? I have Jesus for this. You say, well, is he going to pay my bills? Nobody's going to show you how to live when you can't. Okay? He's going to show you how to handle it like an honest person, maybe for the first time in your life, okay, when you can't pay him. I've had to go up to my debtors, creditors, and say, I can't pay you. Okay? I can't pay you right now. And, you know, I remember when this church tried to change out the electrical over in our house over there. When we moved in, we had an old electrical system there with the old cloth, you know, around it and such, and an old, you know, the screw-in fuses, and down in a wet, damp cellar and such, and the church decided to change it out, and the electric company wouldn't change it out because I was behind on the bill. Okay? I mean, it was just that hard for us to live when we first got here. And I had to go to the elders and say, well, they won't do it because I can't pay the bill. All right? And, you know, we worked it out. I just was consistently behind, having to call and say, I can't pay it. I don't have it and such. Do I like living that way? No, I don't. But you know what? I have Jesus for this. We got through that. We made it through that. And if you think about it, that's why some of you, when you're going through really, really hard times, sit down and write it all down. Write it all down. And I mean, don't spare anything. Write it all down. And you want to know something? 6 months or a year from then, when you pull it up, you'll forget how hard it was. It'll shock you that you actually were that low and that it was that hard. And you'll remember something that Abraham Lincoln said. He said, you know, when I find myself absolutely depressed and I just can't go on and it's just all awful, he says, I remember that, you know, I've been here before. And I got through it before. I'll get through it this time. And you know what? You'll find out that, and when Jesus Christ delivers and he brings you through that stuff, it's never the same way twice. You know, the one time, there's no way you can make it, and your aunt sends you a check in the mail. Oh, I made it. And the next time you can't make it, and you're waiting at the mail every day, and aunt doesn't send a check. All right? It's not going to happen that way. And, you know, and it's always some different. And sometimes you'll say to yourself, well, there's no God, where is he, and all this. And you get through it. It's been the most bitter 2-3 months of your life, year of your life, 5 years of your life. Where was God in the midst of all that? And you get through it on the other side. You know why? Because God was in the midst of every bit of it. God was in it. And he's made something out of you you'd have never made out of yourself, ever in a million years. God's done it. And when it's all said and done, you'll realize that God delivers differently almost every time, but God delivers. That's what he does. He's a deliverer. You know, the word saved in your Bible always means delivered. The question in the context is delivered from what, okay? There's times Israel's saved. They're not saved from sin. They're saved from their enemies. Apostle Paul told Timothy, take attendance under reading because you'll save yourself and others. He's not talking about going to heaven. He's talking about from ignorance and that kind of thing. It always means deliverance. And saved from your sins means deliverance from your sins. Deliverance from the wrath, okay? That's what saved means, deliverance. And God is a deliverer, okay? That's what he is. So the thing is, Jesus Christ is disallowed of men, but he's chosen of God. He's precious. And so you're not going to find anybody that thinks that it's a good idea for you to follow Jesus Christ. You know, you might have a few people pat you on the head, but they don't really understand that. Men don't get that. But when you follow Jesus Christ, and he changes your life, and he makes things different, and he consistently delivers, you yourself realize there's something to this man. Okay? Then he says in verse 5, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So this thing that the Lord wants you to do, he wants you to offer up spiritual sacrifices. So what I've basically done over these last couple of months, these times I have preached on it, is break down certain things that God calls sacrifices. Praise, he calls a sacrifice. Righteousness, he calls a sacrifice. Joy, he calls a sacrifice. Faith, he calls a sacrifice. He talks about the benefit of God in your life being a sacrifice. Thanksgiving being a sacrifice. So we've talked about the idea of you on an organized basis, through your Bible reading, offering those things back unto God. So for me, when I'm successful, doesn't happen a lot. But where everything works just right. Now, you married couples, have you ever had one of those days where it was just perfect? Every meal, everything, just perfect. And it just, and you know what? That doesn't happen every day, does it? No. And you remember and savor those days for a long time to come. Because it was just so wonderful that you had that day like that. Well, the thing is, my fellowship with God's that way. Every once in a while, we have that perfect, wonderful day. But they don't happen every day. Now, if it does, it's going to be that while I was reading in the Word of God, He gave me stuff about righteousness, about praising Him, about joy, and all these things He's put them in my life, and I can go back and pray to Him. Now, this morning, I walked out here to pray, and I got to the sacrifice of faith. What did I learn in the Word of God today? And you realize I had to go, I couldn't remember what I read. You know what I did? I walked back and got my Bible, and I walked up and down through here reading it out loud to God. And it all came in God's kind of flow. All right? It was good. And we discussed some things and saw it a little bit differently than I'd seen it before and such. Now, if I hadn't gone to pray that back to the Lord, you know what? I lied to myself and said, oh, I read my Bible today. Sure, but it didn't do any good. All right, I might as well go and read box tops somewhere as reading my Bible. So the thing is, I find that the priesthood is a way to take those things that God wants communication on and communicate them back to Him, and I grow thereby. Now, the last sacrifice I want to go into is actually something that is physical, and yet it's a spiritual sacrifice, and that's your giving. Kind of flows in with this morning's. So I want you to go with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And we'll go to verse 15. Now for me, every single morning, I discuss with the Lord what my current tab is on my tithe. Just something I do. Okay? Somebody sent me a check in the mail. All right, Lord, I owe this. You know? And I keep track of it. This is my tithe. Every single morning, I pray it out to the Lord. Why? Because to me, it's spiritual. It's not just a physical thing. So I have that discussion with Him. All right. Philippians chapter 4, look at verse 15. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, by the way, if you're somebody that's trying to rightly divide the word of God, that's an important verse. When was the beginning of the gospel? When he departed from Macedonia. Say, wait a second, the gospel's been going on for a long time. There's a shift, there's a change there, better pick it up on it. What's he talking about? Why is he saying the beginning of the gospel when I departed from Macedonia? What shifted there? All right. The beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. So, while he departed, he's leaving Macedonia. You know, nobody, whenever they communicated to him, basically opened the letter and there's no money in it. All right? You know, remember when you were a kid and you opened birthday cards and, you know, it's not that you weren't glad to get a birthday card, but it was a lot nicer when there was money in it. and everybody's had an aunt or somebody like that that sticks that in there or whatever. And you want to know something what the Apostle Paul said about money? He called it the sincerity of your love. You know what? Every once in a while, it wouldn't hurt to take somebody you love and just give them something, okay? And I've told this story before, but many years ago, there was a man that I had trained with at one point. He just dropped out to the harm of him, his family, and everything else, and moved down to Florida. And I just was hearing terrible stories and such. And one day, the Lord gave me a message to give to him, a letter to write to him. And I knew it's what he needed to read. And I told the Lord, I will not send this letter unless you give me $100 to put in it. Because I think that $100 will show him the sincerity of my love. And God was in that prayer. Okay? And I remember going somewhere, somebody gave me $70. I told the Lord, that ain't $100. You know? And I was traveling at that time and going around some different churches and that. Left one and somebody gave me, I think we got close to $80. So that's not $100. And we're just getting ready to leave South Carolina, go back to Vermont. We stopped at Ruth Ann's mother's house. And just as we leave, she ran up and said, "Oh, and here's for you." And she put $100 in, handed it to my wife, and I took it out of her hand and said, "That ain't yours." "That ain't yours. I've been praying for that $100. Slap that in there." And you know what? It really did help that family. It wasn't just that $100 that helped. It's when that letter came, they saw it as love from me, not criticism. They saw it as somebody that really cared for them. And again, that was 30 years ago. What would that be worth today? That'd be like getting about a good $400 or $500 in the mail. All right? Really meant something to them at the time. So the Apostle Paul talked about the Philippians. He says, you know, you're the only ones that when I was traveling, put money in the envelope. And he says in verse 16, "For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity." Now look at verse 17, okay? "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. For I have all and abound. I am full. Having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." Now, that's not just a gift. That's something where God looked, and God in heaven smelled that, like when the patriarchs of old would sacrifice those animals, okay? And he'd sacrifice them all, and it says, and God smelled those things. Noah there by the side of the ark, and it said God smelled that savor and made promises and such. Your giving can be that in heaven. That's what it can be. So the thing is, you can handle your giving like some, you know, hook-nosed Jewish banker, and, "Well, all right, this is so-and-so." I went out to eat with a guy one time, and, you know, and he said, "Well, I'll pay the tip, and that's fine." And I remember him pulling out a calculator and figuring out exactly what 15% is and putting it down to the penny, and I thought, what the heck? It's like a $20 bill there for that woman, all right? You know, instead of $16.23, you know. And just slap it. I tell my boys, if you can't tip 20%, round it up, don't go out to eat, all right? Those girls are out there working and struggling and having a hard time or whatever else. And take care of them, all right? I don't let somebody pump gas in my car, but I don't give a tip, okay? If I go somewhere, you know what, and I don't care if he's going to stick it up his nose as cocaine. If he sticks in my car, I'm going to take care of him. I'm going to do something like that. And you want to know another thing? You make friends out of the unrighteous mammon, Jesus Christ said. That's who you make friends with. Go out there to the lowest people out there, the ones struggling, the ones hurting. I talk about the time we were out at Friendly's, and in fact, I think Pastor Hain was there with me or whatever. We went in the back, and the waitress just kept ignoring us. He just kept ignoring us. We had to keep going around, getting her to come. She was in a bad mood. You could see she was bad. When she'd come around, you could tell she was irritated we were in the back and such. And when we got done, I handed her a larger than normal tip. And I said, "I know you're having a hard day today. And I'm sorry you are. And I hope the rest of the day goes better." And she almost broke out weeping. Okay? Maybe some 12-year-old kid on the couch with a fever, having to go to work, can't pay the electric bill. Stands there, she just expects to get spit on by everybody coming along. Why not be different? Why not change their day? It's in your power to do it. Why not do it? Okay? You have the ability to be a wonderful person. Why not do it? And you want to know something? If you ever fall and stumble, they will weep for you. But if you're not a wonderful person, especially if you lord over them, you ever fall and weep, they'll dance in the street. The point is, the Apostle Paul talks about your giving as a sweet-smelling savor, a wonderful thing. Okay? I want you to go with me to 2 Corinthians 9. Look at verse 7. In fact, we'll look at verse 6 just to get the context. "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." You know, the man that started Caterpillar Tractors vowed to the Lord that he would give 10% of his corporate earnings always to the Lord. Caterpillar Tractor began to take off. And he told the Lord, that's not enough. You're blessing me too much. He went up to 20%. When the man died, 90% of every bit of corporate profit that came in from Caterpillar Tractor went to God's work. And he lived off of the 10%. Okay? And he lived well. Okay? It's just what he purposed that in his heart that he was going to do that. Purposed it. And it says, every man, well, verse 6 again. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now verse 7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. And that's why it's a spiritual sacrifice. It's not taking a calculator out, figuring out what you can get by with, and can I pay the rent this week or whatever else. It's a matter of what did you purpose in your heart? What have you decided? Deep down in your heart, this is what I want to do. You know, last spring, the ladies wanted to get some stuff for Youth Week, and there just was no money in it. I think it was $38 in there, and I began to beg the Lord, Lord, would you please bring some money in for Youth Week? I had a man come up and hand me a check for $1,000 for my family. I asked Miss Ashley if I didn't just sign it over for Youth Week. Why? Because I recognize, you know what that is? That's God answering my prayer for that Youth Week. We went there to Eden, and they gave me a check for $222. Says that's God answering my prayer for Youth Week. I had a man, I opened up the mail one day, and some guy that I'd met one time ever before in my life said, I've been listening to the Bible study on the website. Here's $200. I signed that over to Miss Ashley. You know why? Because there's a principle in the Word of God that a man wrote a song about called Channels Only. It's all I want to be. I just want to be a channel of God's love. I want to be a conduit that God can use, okay? I want to be something that God can pour something in this end and it come back out that end. You know, old Dale, I got to tell him, he talks about that thing, that stuff coming in and go boom on the back. And I thought, that's not a good picture, Dale. But, you know, he did it a few times. I thought, that's, you probably need a different illustration, all right? But it's that idea of being a channel. And if you've noticed today, I've talked more about my giving, what I do in this, and I don't intend to talk about this anymore. But this is the day for it. I don't intend to go on. By the way, you know that church there in Michigan? They got a hold of me 2 years ago. You know who called me? The corporate CEO, the guy that's the head of a nationwide corporation. You know what he said? He said, I've been following you on the internet. And he said, would you reconsider please coming to our church? You know what I told him? I said, Matthew, this is like an old girlfriend calling saying, would you reconsider our relationship? I said, I'm married. Okay? I can't talk to you. I can't talk to you. And I said, I'll pray for your church. I'll ask God to do things well. I sent McVeigh by there. I sent Cliff Taylor by there. You know what they told them? They said 10 years ago, God offered us John Asquith. And we missed the will of God and we destroyed our church. Okay? Now the thing is, my family and I have never been as happy as we are now. Never. Ever. What do you pay for happiness? What do you pay for joy? What do you pay to have a life that's fulfilled in everything that you could ever want it to be? Do you think somebody can come and entice me with money? We can try. All right? You know? I remember my mother giving my little brothers a stern talking to. You know, we lived on Route 16 in Machias, and she said, now if a man pulls over in a car and he offers you candy or ice cream, if you come with him, don't you get in that car. My brother said, yeah, we'll ask him to bring it back.
There you go.
The point of that is this. What have you purposed in your heart? What have you purposed? What have you in your heart said, this is what I want to do? You know, and again, I don't want to keep milking this, but I know for a fact that if a man had spent 39 and a half years in Shingle House building a corporation, working for a government entity or anything of the sort, and been as successful as that man was with his church, Him and his wife would be taking vacations to Hilton Head every spring. Okay, they would every summer. They'd be going as often as they wanted. They'd have Florida homes. They'd have all that. Okay, but you know what? They purposed in their heart years ago, that isn't their point. That isn't what they wanted it. They purposed in their heart, this is the life they want. You know why? Because they have a vision of a better life. They have a vision of eternity. They have a vision of Jesus Christ. They have a vision of what he gives. They have a vision of the grace of God. They have a vision of a calling, and they have that. They purposed it in their heart a long time ago. This is what we want. This is what we'll put our hearts, our souls, our lives into. Okay? I've just come about a little bit late. A little bit late. That's a man that started in his 20s with that vision. And I'm a man that punted on third down and said, no, can't do any good on that. Okay? You say, well, people punt on third down? Steve Spurrier made his team do it once. He was so mad at them. They wouldn't obey anything. They finally just go punt. They said, it's third down. That's all right. You're not obeying me. Just punt. You know? And, you know, they got the lesson. From that on, they started obeying him. He said, if you're not going to obey me, we'll just punt on second down next time. And that's just Steve Spurrier. That's why he had national championships. But the point is this. Thank God I finally got in on this thing in my 50s. Okay? Thank God. Just living, letting Jesus Christ use you as a channel and flow through you and bless people's lives. You know, I've had people a little bit uptight and prickly when preachers come through here and we take money, and they do it for one reason. Jim Wilcox does it for a totally different reason. He recognizes that every dime we give them, we're not giving my pastor. And he does. He just sits back there, the old, you know, farmer, construction worker. He just thinks to himself, you know, if we weren't giving all those people stuff, we'd give my pastor more, all right? And I have to sit and talk with him and tell him, this is the way we want to live. This is what we want to do. All right? But it's hard to constrain him because he just sees it that way. And if you think about that, when I do beg you folks to give to missionaries and I do beg you to put money in the pot for other people, I could go ahead and say, let's not do any of this. Let's go ahead and raise my salary. Let's do something of that sort. And I'm not against raising my salary if we know for sure and can prove at the end of a year that, yes, we're all doing fine. But if we have to sacrifice what this church is all about and the giving and the taking care and the people going through and the other things, there's no point in having a pastor or having a church. No point in it. Okay? The whole point is we want to sow out here bountifully. We want to put it out there bountifully so that we can reap bountifully. Allegheny County churches are failing all over the place. Tanya overheard a conversation over at the Wellspring where some people were talking about how every church in Allegheny County is floundering and not doing well. And they said, oh, except for one. The Renegade Church, the one none of them can stand. Okay? And they didn't know why, but she overheard that conversation saying, except for Black Creek. Okay? Paul Gordon, over and over again, he'll talk about how he'll drive on Wednesday nights, see churches he knew from his youth, and they're closed now on Wednesday nights. Closed now, nothing going on, but the church of his youth, by golly, the lights are on Wednesday night. Okay? And the lights are on in more way than one. Anybody that heard last Wednesday's preaching, I made a statement. Very few places in Western New York you'd go to ever hear anything like you'd heard. If you didn't get a chance to hear it, you go on the internet, you listen to that. I did remember to record that one. Verse 7 again. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, so that you have an all sufficiency in all things and may abound every good work. As is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. And then Paul gives this blessing, and I've talked about it before, and there is no other way to describe verse 10 than a blessing. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God, For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgiving unto God. You could be a reason that God in heaven hears thanksgiving. You could be a reason for that. You never know what God's going to do with your life. You never have any idea, but I know one thing. Purpose in your heart what you're going to do. Don't do it out of constraint. Don't do it out of some legal bondage that you've got to do that. When Miss Pam and Miss Ashley go back there and count that money, I would grieve if there's a dollar in there that somebody begrudged. I'd grieve if their hands had to touch money that somebody didn't want to give, but kind of felt like they had to do it. Please don't stick any money like that in there. Please don't soil their hands with anything of that sort. Only put in money that you have purposed in your heart. That's what I'm going to do. Pastor?